This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello, welcome to a different type of In Conversation podcast from the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM, where we will look at the paper Understanding Why the COVID-19 Pandemic Related Lockdown Increases Mental Health Difficulties in Vulnerable Young Children, recently released in the first issue of JCPP Advances. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology, and I have Dolapo Adeboye with me, who's a research associate at the Neurodevelopment Assessment Unit at Cardiff University's Centre for Human Developmental Science. Dolapo is the first author of the paper that we'll be discussing today. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Hi Dolapo, thanks so much for joining me. Can you start with a brief introduction about yourself?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. So essentially, I'm a research associate, as you already mentioned, in the Neurodevelopment Assessment Unit at Cardiff University. And so at the NDAL, we conduct in-depth assessments of primary school age children who've been identified as at risk for mental health problems, such as emotional and behavioural difficulties, by their teachers and professionals involved in the child support system at school, such as SENCOs. So in my research, in particular, all centred on the complexities of emotional development of children displaying early signs of neurodevelopmental problems. I'm interested in statistical techniques grounded in dynamic methods for assessing children's self-regulation and the co-regulation that takes place between children and their parents. I'm leading on the COVID-19 project, assessing the psychosocial effects of the pandemic, focusing on mental health and well-being and the socioeconomic impact of the pandemic on vulnerable children and families.
Dolapo, you have co-authored the paper, Understanding Why the COVID-19 Pandemic Related Lockdown Increases Mental Health Difficulties in Vulnerable Young Children, published in JCPP Advances. Can you start with a summary of the paper?
Sure. The paper aimed to assess the social, economic and mental health consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, in terms of the school closures and social isolation and increased financial stress, you know, and emotional stress that's been associated with the pandemic as a whole. And the paper centres on the sample of vulnerable children and families for which we've collected kind of really rich pre-pandemic data on. So the paper reports some of our initial results, specifically, you know, an increasing mental health problems in children, particularly anxiety, high prevalence of self-reported symptoms of anxiety and depression in parents, and higher reports of financial stress during the lockdown amongst families with lower incomes. Importantly, we saw links between these factors, these key factors. Parent mental health difficulties played a key role in the negative impact of financial stress on children's mental health difficulties.
We'll return to some of the findings soon, but can you explain why it felt so important to focus on the mental health implications of the pandemic-related lockdown on vulnerable young children?
Very important question. In our sample, about 64% of the children were identified to have significant emotional and behavioural difficulties by their teachers. And so these are the children that very much benefit from protective structures such as school intervention, health and social care services. So some of these children are receiving help and support, but many, you know, were actually still in the process of getting support into place, such as behavioural support at school or one-to-one support or clinical services. And many of these children are currently on the pathway to diagnosis. And so with closures of schools and the process of obtaining support, you know, that brings about the risk of kind of deterioration of children's mental health.
You touched on this before, but can you say something about the methodology that you used in your research?
So the data reported in the study kind of includes data from, you know, the ongoing study in the NDAL, where we're obtaining, you know, rich multi-informant data on child mental health, social and family risk and protective factors, but crucially task-based assessments of children's cognitive and social and emotional functioning. And so for this study, we reassessed these children and families using very in-depth researcher-led video call assessments, which were kind of like average duration of an hour and a half, you know, repeating measures of child mental health difficulties and assessing other family factors such as COVID-19 exposure, change in employment status, and financial stress, and you know, other things like school provision, social engagement, daily routines, and homeschooling. This involves a very in-depth, semi-structured interview where we kind of really go in-depth into the child's and also the parents and the family as a whole, their experience of the pandemic. And I think the key thing is, you know, we're able to obtain the child's experience, the child's voice, and the family's experience as a whole, aside from, you know, our more standardized measures, standardized assessments, such as child anxiety or behavioral difficulties.
And what did you find? Can you talk us through the findings?
Yes. So in terms of our key findings and for the initial results were reported in the paper, one of the key things was an increase in child emotional and behavioral difficulties, with the prevalence actually increasing from 61% pre-pandemic to 69%. Mm-hmm. And these difficulties particularly centered around, you know, emotional problems in children, so anxiety. We also saw a high percentage of parents experiencing mental health difficulties during the first lockdown, and families experiencing financial stress. And particularly that seemed to be the case for families who were in lower income households prior to the pandemic. And importantly, we found links between financial, you know, the financial stress, financial difficulty, and children's mental health difficulties and parent mental health difficulties, wherein, you know, parents' mental health problems kind of played a key role in the relationship between financial stress and strain on the family and the changes in children's mental health problems.
I want to return to financial stress soon, but there was one finding that I thought was quite interesting in your paper. You revealed significant increases in generalized anxiety, panic, and somatic symptoms, and school anxiety, but a reduction in social and separation anxiety. What does that imply?
Yeah, we found this quite interesting, actually, because it kind of pointed to a little bit of heterogeneity in, you know, in the sample. So, you know, we could think that possibly with, you know, increased exposure to discussions about the pandemic and about, you know, death or illness, you know, even things that children might have been hearing on the news at home, their parents talking to them about precautions such as, you know, washing hands and social distancing, that these kind of things could have led to increases in worries about dying or losing loved ones, and then I guess increases in, you know, panic and somatic symptoms. And in terms of school anxiety, there was all of a sudden transition to school at home now, and now your parent is your teacher. Imagine this could have been a big transition for a lot of children who probably had more support at school, like one-to-one support and an actual support system in place for their learning. So we can imagine that this could have led to worries about schoolwork and how well they'll be doing at school when they return.
What are the implications of your findings for professionals working in child mental health?
So I think one key thing to note is that a number of the children were receiving support before the pandemic. You know, this could be at school and like one-to-one support or group support for learning or for behavior or for emotional problems. A number of parents, you know, reported that this support was, you know, as you can expect, was postponed or stopped during the pandemic and during the lockdowns. And so what will be key is kind of getting the support to the right children in a timely manner, particularly with a return to school. And, you know, we expect that there would be like a backlog almost of, you know, children who are really in need of the support. But children who are actually going through the process of obtaining support, and, you know, this might lead to, you know, further backlogs, further delays. So I think the key thing, I guess, is for professionals to be aware of this and aware of the impact might be in terms of the risk of kind of further deterioration of children's mental health if these support systems, these support initiatives aren't put into place in a timely way.
Right. So there's going to be a sort of time lag, is there? And then suddenly there'll be huge need and that mental health professionals need to be aware of.
Yeah, because I imagine that, you know, of course, there's currently a lot of a large waiting list for support in terms of like clinical services. And a lot of these children, you know, that we saw, we assess, they were in the process of either getting maybe statemented or in the process of having some support put in place, some intervention put in place for them. And you know, this had to be kind of be put to a stop completely. But I can imagine that starting this back up again, it won't really start straight away. There's going to be like an even longer waiting list. And I guess our worry is what would be the implications for these children.
And you tackle that in the paper. In the paper, you say understanding the immediate psychological and social consequences for children, especially those already at risk, is essential for rapid development of policies and interventions to mitigate the impact of the pandemic and lockdown on child mental health. What should this rapid development look like, and what interventions are needed, and what policies?
So again, it's really about the timing of these interventions, the timing of these initiatives, and how well they're targeted at the right, you know, children and families who really are desperately in need. And I think the key thing to think about is that, you know, of course, in the paper, we have looked at just how the pandemic has impacted these children and families centered around the first lockdown. But actually, we've gone through a number of different measures, a number of different actual lockdowns or government restrictions, where some of these issues such as school closures, social isolation, and still, again, financial strain has continued. So having this data is key, number one, to understand who are the children that are actually struggling and the families that are actually struggling. But also knowing that these children and these families might actually continue to struggle throughout the pandemic, and these difficulties might be maintained or exacerbated, and we may see deterioration. So if particular initiatives and support systems are put into place and targeted at the right time and for the right families, we might see, you know, maybe some of these children being protected from further difficulties.
Let's hope so. Let's return to financial strain. Your analysis shows how financial stress created by the pandemic is associated with and possibly responsible for increased mental health problems in families. What is your message to policymakers?
Yes, right. We saw associations between, you know, indicators of financial stress, such as like lost employment, food insecurity, difficulty paying bills, and associations between those factors and child mental health difficulties and parents' reports of mental health problems. So these associations suggest kind of a need for a kind of multifaceted approach to initiatives to support families, including initiatives to reduce financial instability, support the mental health and well-being of parents, which should then have a positive effect on children's mental health.
So what else is in the pipeline? Are you planning some follow-up research that you can reveal to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the study has been ongoing, and we've been following the experiences of children and families over the course of the pandemic. So again, you know, with the release of restrictions and return to school and then going back to further restrictions. So we followed families throughout this course, and we want to kind of still continue to understand, you know, the changes in children's mental health problems, mental health difficulties. For example, if children's anxiety problems are maintained or exacerbated alongside, you know, parents' mental health and well-being, changes in that. But also in terms of financial stress, you know, so with parents returning back to work, back to normal work, so further strain on families in terms of employment, food insecurity, also in terms of affording accommodation, so things like that. So we want to follow and see how these things change, and but also how the changes interact with each other over the course of the pandemic. Another key aspect of the study is the qualitative data that we've been obtaining. So that's another aspect where we, again, I think I mentioned this before about, you know, the fact that this is an in-depth interview, not just of the parents, but of the child as well, and hearing their perspective on things, their understanding of the pandemic and what COVID is, and not being able to see their friends, be at school, being at home with their family. So yeah, it's really for us to kind of understand these things in, you know, in further detail, see how they interact over the course of the pandemic and as we come out of the large scale lockdowns, and to, yeah, to see how things are and how children and families have coped.
Finally, what's your takeaway message for those listening to our conversation?
I think the key thing is to remember is that while COVID has impacted mental health and socioeconomic factors such as financial stability, you know, in the general population, you know, it's been a massive transition, you know, globally. But I think the vulnerable children and families, those that we see at the end hour, are at particular risk for long lasting impacts. And I think it's key for us to understand what this impact is and how to alleviate the stress on these children and families to produce better outcomes.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. For more details on Dolapo Adeboye, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short.